Now, there are several ways of outlining this epistle. One of the ways, and it's a good one, is the coming of Christ is an inspiring hope. That's in chapter 1. And in chapter 2, the coming of Christ is a working hope. And then in chapter 3, the coming of Christ is a purifying hope. And then in chapter 4, the coming of Christ is a comforting hope. And then in chapter 5, the coming of Christ is a rousing hope. And that's a very good division. However, I don't use it. I personally have attempted to divide it a little different way. And those of you that have our notes and outlines, you have the outline before you. But for those of you that have not yet written in for your notes and outlines, well, let me give you our outline. We have in chapter 1 the Christian's attitude toward the return of Christ. And in chapter 2, the Christian's reward at the return of Christ. And chapter 3, down into chapter 4, verse 12, the Christian's life and the return of Christ. You see, the bulk of this epistle has to do with a Christian living in relation to the rapture of the church. There are a lot of people today want to argue prophecy, want to argue about it, but they don't want to spend much time looking at the great truth that if you really believe in the coming of Christ, that you'll find it's a purifying hope. He that hath this hope, John said, purifies himself. It affects your living. I don't care about how enthusiastic and exciting you can get over the great truth of the rapture of the church. I want to know how you're living. It's something that it should get right down where we're living today. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, we have not only the Christian's life and the return of Christ, but we have the Christian's death and the return of Christ. And that's in chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And then chapter 5, the Christian's actions. Now, all the way from chapter 1, attitude to the Christian's actions in view of the return of Christ. And again, it's the life that tells whether you're a premillennialist or not. It's not how excited you can argue or how red in the face you can get when you get into controversy over this. I find a great many people, they get all worked up over the coming of Christ. But you don't get worked up over it. You're to demonstrated in works down here. And he's going to talk a great deal, by the way, about that. Now, I think I should make this distinction also that's very important. In the first epistle of the Thessalonians, the emphasis is upon the rapture of the church, the coming of Christ to take his church out of the world. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, the emphasis is going to shift to the coming of Christ to the earth to establish his kingdom. And there's a great deal of difference of being caught up to meet the Lord in the air and for him to come down to the earth to establish his kingdom. And as I've said before, there's a lot of upside down theologians today. They have him coming down when they should be caught up. And we need to make that distinction. Paul makes it, and we shall see it here.